at the recent River of Life conference in Melbourne, the minister of the largest church in the world, Yonggi Cho of Korea, expressly thanked a church in Glen Ira for bringing Christianity to Seoul and South Korea. That special church is St. Mary's Anglican Church in Caulfield, here in Melbourne. Late in the 19th century, St. Mary's had a missionary-minded minister by the name of H.B. McCartney, and St. Mary's sent Christian missionaries to Korea, China and India to take the benefits of Christianity to those places. In Christians Who Have Made a Difference, today we hear the current minister of St. Mary's, Mark Durie, tell the story of those past days, as he did at the River of Life conference. The introduction is by conference organiser Peter Kentley.
And one of the first things Dr. Cho said to us was how the very first missionaries from Melbourne had gone to Seoul. And the first missionaries to South Korea, or Korea in those days, was from Melbourne. And those first missionaries came from St. Mary's Church in Caulfield. And we are going to invite Mark Durie, the minister of St. Mary's Church Caulfield, to tell us about those first missionaries, because Dr. Cho said to us that he wanted to come to Melbourne today to honour and to return the grace to Melbourne that had been extended to Korea. Mark, would you share with us?
Thank you, Peter. It's a privilege to share with you the story of what God has done through this city in the past. In the last three decades of the 19th century, there was an amazing world missions movement that was birthed in Australia, and Melbourne was the engine room of that, and particularly the vicar, the pastor of St. Mary's Caulfield, H.B. McCartney, was the leader of that movement. For 30 years, he produced a monthly magazine, The Missionary at Home and Abroad, which thousands of people all across Australia read, and he had four major points that came through that magazine again and again. One was the cross of Christ and the need to surrender yourself to Christ. The second was the sanctifying and baptizing work of the Holy Spirit and the need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for power for ministry. The third great emphasis was prayer, the urgency of prayer. And the fourth was the imminence of the return of Christ and the need to preach the gospel to the nations. Now, young people all over Australia were responding to this message. And indeed, McCartney and a team of others invited Hudson Taylor to Melbourne, and he travelled around Australia, and 100 people committed their lives to become missionaries as a result of that visit alone. The first missionary to go out was called Sarah Davies. And when the churches came together for worship and teaching and prayer in 1875 in St. Mary's Church, during the worship time, she felt the Lord calling her to be a missionary. So 8 weeks later, without an organization to back her, not yet 20 years of age, she went to India, Australia's first missionary. She served there for 60 years, and her body is buried there. Three of her brothers and sisters also went into mission service. One was called Joseph Henry Davis. He's called Henry. He first went to India following his sister, but got very seriously ill, had to return to Melbourne, where he founded Caulfield Grammar School, a school, by the way, that produced many missionaries in the first decades of its existence. And then he was all ready to go back to India when he read in The Missionary at Home and Abroad, which McCartney was producing, a call issued by a Church of England minister in China for missionaries to go to Korea. This was in 1888. So in 1890, he went to Korea. He was sponsored by the Presbyterian Church. He died within 8 months of arriving in Korea. He caught smallpox and pneumonia as he was handing out tracts in Korean in the villages. And his body is buried on the hillside in Busan. I was there 2 years ago and stood in that spot. It was very moving to think of his influence, his great influence. Within a year, the Presbyterian Church here in Melbourne sent out a half a dozen missionaries to replace him. One missionary who died became six and seven and dozens that came. And they came from America as well. And that's how the Presbyterian Church was birthed in Korea. Praise God. At that time, five of those young people that went out with training from St. Mary's died in the mission field. One within months in India of cholera. Henry Davies in Korea. Three women were martyred in China, and I have the copy of the church bulletin that reports their death. We have hardly remembered these names, these people. But the 100 million Christians in China and the 17 million Christians in Korea and the Christians in India, they remember these people. They remember their influence. They were blown like seeds on the wind of the Spirit throughout the globe. And where they settled, they fell into the earth. And their blood and their bodies were buried there, but their heritage, their fruit lives on today. I have one more thing I want to say. That generation was a generation of prayer. They had an urgency and a passion for the gospel for the nations. And they prayed for the imminent return of Christ and the gospel going out to the world. Their prayers have not yet been fully fulfilled. And it is up to us in this generation to claim from the Lord a return of their prayer, their investment in prayer, and the promises that they ask God to fulfill for this city, which will be fulfilled. So let us raise up a call to God to fulfill His promise that He made 120 years ago.